नमस्ते
वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading this morning, Canto 3, Chapter 24. We start with text 16. We all know the section that we're in. This is Lord Brahma speaking to his son, Kardama Muni, in the assembly of great sages that were accompanying Lord Brahma. The wife of Kardama, Devahuti, is also there, and the nine daughters of Kardama and Devahuti are also there hearing from their grandfather or from Kardama's father, Lord Brahma speaking. Brahma says, O Kardama, I know that the original Supreme Personality, Godhead, has now appeared as an incarnation by His internal energy. He is the bestower of all desired by the living entities, and He has now assumed the body of Kapila Muni. He hasn't been born yet, but He already has His name. Purport, in this verse we find the words Purusham Avatirnam Sva Mayaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is everlastingly, eternally, the form of Purusha, the predominator or enjoyer. And when He appears, He never accepts anything of this material energy. The spiritual world is a manifestation of His personal, internal potency, whereas the material world is a manifestation of His material or differentiated energy. The word sva, mayaya, quote, by His own internal potency, indicates that whenever the Supreme Personality Godhead descends, He comes in His own energy. He may assume the body of a human being, but that body is not material. In Bhagavad Gita, therefore, it is clearly stated that only fools and rascals, mudhas, consider the body of Krishna to be the body of a common human being. The word shevadhim means that He is the original bestower of all the necessities of life upon the living entities. In the Vedas, it is also stated that He is the chief living entity and that He bestows all the desired necessities of other living entities. Because He is the bestower of the necessities of all others, He is called God. The Supreme is also a living entity. He is not impersonal. As we are individual, the Supreme Personality Godhead is also individual, but He is the supreme individual. That is the difference between God and the ordinary living entities. In this whole pastime, because it's a pastime, the Supreme Lord is appearing, so it's a pastime. There's multiple references that state again and again that Kapila, the son of Devahuti Putra Kapila, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so, later on, after, because this is the renunciation of Kardamuni that's coming up very shortly, after Kapila is born and Kapila reaches a mature stage or age, Kardama comes to him, his son, and seeks his blessings, like, permission to go back to the forest. And resume what he was doing before he was married. So later on, after he's gone, Devahuti is feeling attachment and separation from that attachment to her husband, and appeals to her son, who she knows to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, those of you that are mothers, just think about that for a moment. She knows he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's parental affection. And parental affection manifests in a variety of ways. But the primordial parental affection is resting in Krishna. And then there's other features of that depending upon rasa, and depending upon bhava, and depending upon which feature of the energy of the Supreme Lord one is sheltered in, material energy or spiritual energy. So, here's one of those places. Lord Brahma is stating very, very explicitly the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. Original in the sense that he's the origin of the creation. He's the origin of Kardama and Devahuti, he's the origin of Lord Brahma, he's the origin of everything in this created realm. In that sense, the original. Another important point, same message as Bhagavad Gita, and therefore Prabhupada connects this with Bhagavad Gita's message. Purusham avatirnam sva mayaya. Sva mayaya. Sva maya is his own potency, sva maya. When the Supreme Lord appears, he appears by his own internal potency. He doesn't need the assistance of anyone. He doesn't need the assistance of anything. He appears in his sva maya, acts according to his desire. He desires, it moves. He desires, it doesn't move. He can extend and withdraw his potencies at will, and they move according to his will. It goes back to verses we didn't discuss here, but the impregnation of Devahuti by Kapila covers the topic again as well. The Supreme Lord can appear however he likes. He can appear in the mind of Vasudeva, and then in the mind of Devaki, and then in the womb of Devaki, and then appear in his forearm form in the prison house of Kamsa, and then assume a two-armed child form. No problem. He can appear in the before Maharaj Prakshit, while he was in the womb of Uttara, and from whence he appeared and where he went after he appeared and disappeared, who can say? Because he's everywhere. He appeared from the pillar. He appears by his own potency, and in his Paramatma feature or Shuddhakshayi Vishnu feature, he's already everywhere. So he can appear from anywhere. No problem. Now, for a devotee that's understood the science, supposing a devotee doesn't understand the science, he's almighty, he can do anything. We have, in addition, an explanation. Well, how does he do it? By his own potency. We don't know the technology of his own potency, but that's the agency. Sva mayaya. And another point that's being made, so we should not think that his, otherwise, in the language of Bhagavad Gita, mudha avajananti mam mudha manushim tanam ashratam. Manushim tanam ashratam. They think that he, some, the foolish people think that he has assumed a human form. there are those that say he assumed a human form. Brahman takes on this form, and then actually it's the unborn. The born is Krishna, and then the unborn is the unborn within Krishna. And the unborn takes a human form and takes birth. That's one of the pictures of who Krishna is. Therefore, repeatedly, Prabhupada takes the opportunity whenever the occasion arises, and even when he has to create the occasion, he makes it very clear that the personality of Godhead is not one of us. Asamurdva. Sama and Urdva. There's no one equal to and no one greater than. Sama and Urdva. No one equal to and no one greater than. He is the Supreme. And then another, again and again and again. Here, surprisingly, Prabhupada doesn't quote the verse itself, but he makes reference to the verse that nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovididati kaman. I imagine if he was giving a lecture on this verse, he'd speak that verse. Eko bahunam. One maintains the many. Amongst eternals, there's one supreme eternal. Amongst conscious living forces, he's the supreme living force. That one maintains the necessities of all others. It's in Isha Upanishad also. Isavasya midam sarvam, the first verse. He is the source, and we're maintained by the source. It's a fact. I mean, someone could say otherwise. It's a fact. It's scriptural, and it's a fact. Whatever we have, it can, like that, be taken. It's given and taken by the source. So, recognizing that there's a source of everything, according to the language of Bhagavad Gita and common sense, that which is the source of everything, we have an eternal relationship with that source of everything, and therefore a natural consequence, byproduct of that recognition, it would follow very logically and naturally that we engage in service to that source. That's what we're meant for. That's who we are. Forgetfulness of that causes problems. It's ignorance causes suffering. And therefore, it's a great gift that the Bhagavatam is eradicating the ignorance and replacing it with knowledge. Not just information kind, but the connection with the supreme knowledge, and assisted very capably by the Bhaktivedanta purports. We're being, by reading Prabhupada's books, we're being trained and educated what human life is, what progressive human life is, and what the goal of that progressive human life is. It's not becoming one with the Supreme in an absolute sense, in the absolute sense meaning that we become the Supreme. That's silly. If Supreme doesn't become the Supreme, the Supreme is the Supreme. And the part of the Supreme is the part of the Supreme, eternally. Nityo, nityanam, chaitanas, it's an eternal position, an eternal relationship, and the natural consciousness in that relationship is loving service. It keeps pointing to that for some reason. Because that's the reality. So the messages of the Bhagavatam are to help bring us to that position. So back to the verse, Brahma is declaring to Kardama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is soon to become your son. And here's his name, Kapila Muni. He is the bestower of all desired by the living entities, and he has now assumed the body of Kapila Muni. Brahma is very learned, and he hasn't seen the child. He didn't do a whatever they do these days to find out is it a boy or a girl in the womb of the mother. He just knows. He knows because of his purity, and there's disclosure from the Supreme because of his purity and things that others don't know. Not that Kapila doesn't, or excuse me, it's not that Kardama doesn't know. Kardama also knows. He already told his wife, Devahuti, soon you're going to bear a son, Supreme Personality Godhead as your son, and he will give you this liberation you're seeking for. Not that Kardamuni was incapable, but that was the pastime, that was the leela, that he could then give liberation, or give a liberation in the ultimate sense, like we were speaking on Tuesday evening, beyond nirvana. Let's say it again. Svarupena vyavastati. Svarupena. It's a nice reference. Again, it's one of those places that Srila Prabhupada would make reference to. A little appreciation of how that works. When Srila Prabhupada repeated things again and again and again and again and again and again, it's for a purpose. It's, this is important. And repetition, Prabhupada said, is necessary for clear understanding. So the context of, you take this, svarupena vyavastati, that's a sound vibration. And looking at it from this angle and that angle, the other angle, the picture becomes more full and complete. That's what svarupena vyavastati means. And then when he would say it again, after the so many agains and agains, the whole picture opens up. Just that sound vibration. It, and then keep going, and that's what your consciousness enters into, not only a picture in the mind of what that sound vibration means, not like learning a language. And then this word means that. So you connect this word that's part of your language with that foreign language that you're now learning, or second language that you're now learning, and so you know the connection. This is spiritual realization. You enter into svarupena vyavastati. You get carried there by that sound vibration. So svarupa, svarupa, just like svamayaya, sva means one's own, rupa, form, svarupa, one's own spiritual form, svarupa, svarupena vyavastati, when it becomes situated in one spiritual form. And in when being situated in one's spiritual form, what do? Spiritual activity. So what's spiritual activity look like? Well, it depends on your swarup. And it'll be in relation to the Supreme, because we're part and parcel of the Supreme. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. Even in the spiritual realm, whatever it is that we require, it's being supplied by the source of everything. The dynamic doesn't change, just the internal potency becomes that which governs us instead of the external potency, which causes forgetfulness, no longer governs us. But we're still under the Supreme. And the spiritual world is really nice. Those verses from Brahma Samhita, Chintamani Prakara Sarmasu, Kalpa Briksha Lakshabhritesu, skipping the detail, the teaching, the revelation about the spiritual world, about Goloka, is just about everything can bestow just about anything. The trees, the cows, the rocks, they're Chintamani. They can bestow anything. Just about everything can bestow just about anything. So, one would expect luxurious life. But it's not luxurious life. It's very simple life. Why? Because people don't desire material acquisition. They're finished with that. Or it's just not part of their... They're not looking for happiness outside of their relationship with Krishna. So whenever there's something, the something goes to Krishna. Spontaneously, you don't have to think about it. Oh, I better follow this regulation, that regulation. It's a good thing to do. They're not governed by rule. They're governed by love. So they're very happy. Just taking care of cows. Surabhi cows. And whatever they want to offer to Krishna, they're supplied. And materialistic people, when they come in contact with a Surabhi cow, they lose control. There's descriptions of Jamadagni had such a cow, and without, you know, materialistic king seeing the cow, he wanted the cow, or etc. etc. So, for those that are in that position, they're of Goloka, they're qualified in a way that we wouldn't know what to do with. I mean, we would misuse the opulence of the spiritual world. And so it's not given to us. But those that don't misuse it, it's given to them. And they don't misuse it. And go, the further and further and one goes into the realm of darkness, of ignorance and atheism, then... lower species of life are the destination. Somebody may, like Ravana, his father was super exalted, and his father taught him the Vedas, and so, you know, he had kriti, he had merit, but he was a duskriti, and he misused it, and so he lost it. I mean, he made havoc while he had it, but he lost it in a moment. Same with what Prahlad says about Hiranyakashipu. Please don't give me a kingdom. My father had opulence beyond the demigods, and in a moment he lost it. So I don't want that. I want something that in a moment I'm going to lose it. No, thank you. Please don't ask me to take some benediction from you. I've learned from my father what not to do. Instead, you can please give me Narada's association. More of Narada's association. Because with Narada's association, I can then learn better how to serve you. That these are the non-material desires in contrast with the material desire. The non-material svarupena vyavastiti. That's what you do when you're in your spiritual form. You have spiritual desire and then spiritual activity. Not activities of ignorance, but spiritual activity. Even within the material body, it can be used in service to Krishna. So we're not there yet. We're in the sadhana stage. We are to follow rules and regulations and regular practices, and we're not there yet. So that's okay. With faith, continue on that path, and
this process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, hearing and discussing and contemplating its message, it's the most, along with chanting the holy name, it's the most recommended activity. It's Bhagavad Dharma. Taking the unqualified to the position of becoming qualified by that process. Okay. Any discussion? Yeah.
When you're explaining Krishna desires and the energies move. When they are completely in tune, as if it appears as if he is doing material energy or his energy.
Spiritual energy.
So that means.
And yet I'm the non-doer, he says in Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, not just it. And it applies to me, like the tuning. There is no selfish thought or anything for me, but if I'm thinking about Krishna, then will I be tuned?
If I'm thinking about Krishna, will I get changed?
Will I receive what he wants me to do?
Well, it depends. If you're a pure devotee, then the answer is yes. And if you're Haranyakashipu, no. If you're somewhere in between, depends. There's this phrase, even the path to hell is paved with good intention. You're familiar with that one, right? So I think I'm getting some indication from, say, a theistic person. I'm getting some indication from Krishna. So let's say jihadi. That's a no. Or Cardinal Daniel Yu saying it's okay to kill animals. No. We're not going to say he doesn't have a positive disposition towards God, but the signal he's getting is a different one. We can say it bluntly. So then there has to be confirmation from Guru Sadhu Shastra. And he's obviously not Guru. Okay? Depends. Yes? Yes, external energy is also Krishna's own energy. However, because we are Vaishnavas, we understand when Krishna appears, it's by his internal energy. It's not by his external energy. So we know which of the two to select from out of the menu. Okay. Yes?
Here we covered that the Brahma knows the appearance of Lord Kapila because of his purity.
Yes.
And it's reminding me of an early verse, very early verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes Srila Vyasadeva who pulls this Srimad Bhagavatam because of his spiritual.
Yes.
So, maturity.
Purity implies maturity. Okay. Is that a question or a statement?
It's a
Okay. Well, there's degrees of purity and there's degrees of maturity. They're similar, but obviously the terminology is different, and so the terminology is different, and therefore it indicates something that's different. There's a correlation for sure. Shuddha bhakti means without any tinge of the modes of nature. Ignorance, passion, even material goodness. Shuddha bhakti, that's purity. And then in that realm of shuddha bhakti, there are degrees. And one could say degrees of maturity within that realm of shuddha bhakti. Okay. So they're not identical. There's certainly some overlapping. There's some correlation. Something else? Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. The purport says, He appears, he never accepts anything of this material energy. Does it mean that whatever we offer, like as a practicing devotees or lowly, that he accepts only from, I'm like any yoga?
No. What it means is he's not contaminated by contact with. He doesn't accept or take on the qualities of contamination of the material world. That's what it means. He doesn't accept, he doesn't take on the qualities of. That's the meaning.